talk a little Tennessee Vols, SEC football, basketball, and more. Will West with Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, joining us. Merry Christmas to you and your family, Will. And as always, we appreciate it and always enjoy our chats with you, buddy.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, Johnny. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, man.
Hey, by the way, before we get into football talk, let's go back to what happened last weekend. You know, it's always special. I don't care what sport you're talking about, when a team can knock off number one in the country. In this case, it was the Tennessee Vols men's basketball squad bringing down Gonzaga. What type of ripple effect did that have? How did everybody respond to that over in Knoxville?
I think that people finally bought into this basketball team, how good this basketball team can be. There were a lot of people who kind of ripped me because I said in the summer, I think this is a Final Four level basketball team. Let's see how the matchups play out for them and things like that. But that this was a team that had the talent, had the build, had the experience, that could absolutely get there as long as they continue to work the ball inside out and can stay healthy. And then so with Alamante Turner, probably one of their three best players, they're able to be the number one team in the nation in a neutral site. So Admiral Schofield went absolutely nuts. I thought at the beginning of this one, though, they did an amazing job, Tennessee did, of just bringing a different level of physicality and intensity to Gonzaga that they struggled to deal with. Gonzaga made the adjustment because that's an incredible team. But really, the physicality of Tennessee set the tone early, and then from there they hit shots late.
You know, it's interesting when you look at, you know, the top four teams or so in the country and look at, it seems like everybody's beating up on each other as well. It kind of gives you a sneak preview on how March Madness could possibly play out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, right now, how many, like, we all kind of thought it's Villanova or maybe they get shocked. Right now, Kansas, Duke, Tennessee, Gonzaga, Michigan, maybe Michigan State. If you know how Izzo always has his team ready later on. If Auburn gets hot, they can beat anybody in the nation from outside. It really Nevada is not a team that you want to face NCAA tournament time. This is a pretty deep top of the pack, I think, in the NCAA tournament setting up for this year, as long as everybody stays healthy. And let's see who improves from now until the end of the year.
I think it's great for basketball. You know, when you see teams like, you brought up Nevada, a top 10 team, a Buffalo team, Buffalo, a top 10 team. You see Tennessee there. I think it's great for men's basketball that you're getting some names other than, I mean, Duke is there, obviously. Gonzaga's there. But I like the new blood that's a part of it as well.
No, I agree with you there. I think that Texas Tech being where they are, Buffalo being in the top 15 is pretty impressive. Even to see Virginia Tech, I mean, we all know Buzz Williams can coach, but to see them already at this point in the top 15, and then to see a Tennessee name you don't usually see up there, Michigan and Beeline, how tough are they going to be tournament time? I mean, Beeline usually gets his team better and better and better as the season goes along, and then by tournament time, you don't want anything to do with them. They're number five in the nation and just trounced top 25 teams so far this year, so that's a really scary out later on. And then to have Auburn, Nevada in the top 10 as well, Florida State in the top 10, I think it's huge, absolutely huge.
Will West, once again, from Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML, joining us. You know, I've had these private conversations with the, you know, some key influencers there on the campus of Tallahassee as far as Florida State football, and with that opening as far as offensive coordinator, with one Kendall Briles name being floated around. Certainly that name has been floated around as well for Tennessee. And I didn't hesitate. I voiced my opinion. I don't want him to be a part of it, and if he is, then I'm checking out as far as Florida State is concerned until Willie Taggart gets fired. I bring it up because I was been told that I'm not the only one. So I'm curious to know if those same type of conversations have taken place in Knoxville with regards to Kendall Briles.
Far less than you might think. Considering what happened Chiano Sunday here, you might think that people would go nuts about Kendall Briles, but we get a couple of years removed from that Title IX lawsuit where Tennessee paid almost $5 million out, and people forget, right? There's also just that there is this weird belief in Knoxville for some reason, Johnny, that if Lane Kiffin says it, it's gospel truth. And he was good enough for Lane, so everybody in Knoxville says, well, he must be fine. Lane Kiffin keeps coming on the radio vouching for him. So it's that plays a lot into it, as Lane Kiffin say so here, which I think is absolutely nuts. That's legitimately the next to last guy behind Ed Ogeron, whose word
Are you telling me now Lane Kiffin is now in charge of character police across the landscape?
I'm telling you, there are a lot of fans that feel that way. They really honestly do, which is insane. And people still get mad at me when I keep trying to point out to them, if Lane Kiffin doesn't leave for USC, the NCAA is going to tear this place down like it's UNLV basketball. So the best thing ever could have happened to Tennessee is Lane Kiffin walking away. But there are fans that watched what, you know, Tennessee became after Lane left, and they hired Dooley, and they watched what Lane was as the offensive coordinator there in Alabama. And since then, just if he says it, it's gospel truth. And so there were a lot of fans that were on board with the Kendall Briles proposition for a little while, and I'm kind of surprised. I was kind of surprised to see it.
Well, it's just like when Hugh Jackson thought it was okay for Art Briles, Kendall's dad, who got ousted at Baylor, brought him on as an offensive consultant, and I could not wish him enough losses, and it was to the point where I was hoping that they wouldn't fire him so he could accumulate more losses, but he gets fired, and then the Cincinnati Bengals picked him up as far as to aid their coaching staff, and guess what? Cincinnati has yet to win a game since Hugh Jackson's been associated with that franchise.
Here's the tough part, right? And you know this, Johnny, from working in it. The very, 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 very vast majority of people in athletics departments are not just good, but great people who believe in the mission, who are there for the right reasons. And unfortunately, a lot of times in big-time college football, they just don't care, right? They're just going to make the wrong decision. They're going to make the wrong decision on purpose. They know what's there. I mean, look at their news that came out today. Nick Saban's bringing DJ Durkin in, right? They're just what can if Art Briles can be brought into an NFL program, if Kendall Briles can get this many jobs, if DJ Durkin this quickly is brought into Tuscaloosa, at what point would a college coach say no? This is too gross, right? I don't want any part of this. I don't know what I would. I mean, what would you have happen to, for a coach to finally say yes? You know a lot about football, but I don't like who you are ethically, and we don't want you in our building.
And I'm interested to see as far as anybody that's with any type of influence will say anything to Nick Saban, but my guess is I think we already know the answer to that.
I mean, the last time that anybody tried to say anything to Nick Saban, there were job rumors floating out he was going to Texas, right? So I don't think there's a soul that's going to say anything to Nick Saban there.
Will West joining us again. Your thoughts, I'm sure this had some interesting, there were some interesting comments generated that Butch Jones looks like he's going to be moving along as far as to the Maryland coaching staff.
I think it's a good spot for him. You don't want him as your offensive coordinator. I still question whether he is a one-trick pony. Is he just one of those read option guys, and that's all he was, and now that every middle school in the country knows how to defend the read option, will he ever be successful as a coach again? I don't know. I'll tell you some of the stuff that's come out about him here. If you could do like a college version of Hard Knocks, I would love to see Maryland with that guy, possibly T. Martin, and then Michael Oxley all in the same locker room together with everything that happened in New Mexico. It would be unreal to see those personalities in there together. And just, I hope the Maryland people are aware that it's when, not if, that thing implodes if you're bringing those three guys in there to run things, or at least two of those three guys in there to run things. He's a pretty decent guy.
Well, ESPN did the, four-part Rolling with the Tide. Maybe you can suggest maybe they can, whatever you do with the Terps.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine what that would look like behind the scenes. I mean, I don't know if you saw, there was a lady named Selena Summers that did a very nice, a really good job with a video of a junior college player that came to Tennessee. He'd blown his knee out. Butch tried to convince him to wait until after the season to have the surgery. He said, no, I want to have the surgery now. And he got the offensive line to jump him during practice. And this guy just point blank says, hey, this is what happened. I did this. This is why I ended up leaving Tennessee after signing with Tennessee. Pretty unreal, some of the things that come out of Bob Butch Jones. Almost like if you wrote that as fiction, you wouldn't believe it could actually be true because it's just so outlandish. And Butch Jones actually did these things.
You know, that leaves me speechless, but am I surprised? No, and I'm sure there's more stories that will come out as well. Hey, wanted to get your thoughts. You know, here we are less than a week away from National Signing Day as far as this early period coming up on Wednesday the 19th. Tennessee holding strong as far as a top 20 recruiting class. And, you know, they need, if you're in the SEC and you're not in the top 20, you got problems because, I mean, I think at the latest look in, 11 of the 14 teams are ranked 21 or better. I mean, so if you're not in the top 20, that means no matter how, I don't care how your class ranks as far as nationwide against everybody else that plays Division I football, you're going to be behind the eight ball still.
Yeah, no, Tennessee at number 12 right now, I'll just be honest, should be a disappointment for Tennessee fans. It absolutely should be. Could they get into the top 10? It's possible they could get into the top 10. I think maybe even a size number 7 or 8. But, man, sitting right now at number 12, everything you've done has been about being all in on recruiting. And Tennessee's been horseshoes and hand grenades, right? They've been close on a lot of guys. They're not landing a lot of guys. And I don't think the way this season went helped that whatsoever for Jeremy Pruitt. I think that kind of playing a boring brand of football doesn't help that for Jeremy Pruitt whatsoever. if you can close strong and you finish with like the number nine class in the nation, that's fine. I mean, but you're playing catch up to the Georgias and people like that that are ahead of you on this list. So the one thing you're hoping is that maybe Dan Mullen can't do everything he did at Mississippi State with the talent he brings in at Florida. If they're in the top 20, but barely in the top 20, maybe you're hoping you catch them. But Tennessee's trying to catch Vandy at this point. And I don't think that bringing in the 12th ranked recruiting class in the nation, 15th as far as the composite rankings are concerned, I don't think that that's doing a whole lot to get Tennessee where they want to be. So this has been a pretty disappointing recruiting cycle.
Are you looking for maybe a strong finish for Jeremy Pruitt and his staff leading up to Wednesday?
I don't think it happens. I don't. I think maybe they get the running back out of Memphis. That's about it. It was the four-star guy was going to Michigan. A lot of people said he wanted to know who the OC is going to be, and now we find out today from the local rival site, Austin Price, and others said this was good reporting with other people I've talked to, said that they believe the same thing, that Tennessee's not going to have an offensive coordinator on the staff for the early signing day. So I don't know if you end up landing him, but overall, I don't think this closed incredibly strong. I just think that this class is what it is, and you'll be lucky to get in the top 10.
Hey, but once again, it could have been a worse situation if you're talking about Tennessee outside the top 20 right now.
But, it could be a whole lot worse. And Butch, those last 2 years were a whole lot worse. The one thing that they missed on defensive linemen, they just don't have a lot of them. They don't have enough of them. They don't have very many guys that you look at as plug and play. That guys that you just think can step right in and start playing from day one. And next year they lose all three starters off of the offensive line, all four starters when they went to with a four down set. So I think that's the place that you're looking at and you'd say they would like to get better here. And I don't know that they're necessarily going to.